Yetasad is the Yortzeit of Avram from Parasov. It's called, affectionately called, the Avramel. He was a Talmud originally of the Saba Kadisha from Adashitz, written as Rabbi Movak, and was Neskarv to Kotsk, to that world of the Kotsk Rebbe, and Ger, Chdusharim, Svasemes, in the Imre Emes, who he got to know as well, so he saw many doyers. There's a poyas of Rebbe today in Eretz Yisrael, it's from one of the Zakan Admoyim Reichash of Rebbe. As a young child, he went to the Saba Kedisha from Radishitz, himself was the Talmud of the Chayza. And he was young, and he was waiting to come see the Rebbe, and days were going by, and wasn't called in. So his father showed up, father's Rabbi Shua. His father showed up and he went in to see the Rebbe and he saw that his son was still there waiting to see and he said he hasn't come in yet, you understand? So he asked if his son could come in after him. So the Rebbe from Radishitz agreed. So the young boy comes in and the Rebbe, he takes a look at this young boy and he goes with his finger to call him over like this. Come closer. And so when the Rebbe did that, he fainted. So the Rebbe hurried over and he took some wine and he poured some wine on him to wake him up. Mm-hmm. Rebbe Shenya, to wake him up. And he started to say to him, he said, why are you afraid of an old man? This old man never hurt anybody ever. You have no reason to be afraid of me. So they shmoozed afterwards. And he told his father after this very interesting encounter which took place. So he said, the Rebbe, with this whole maisa, he made you into a future Rebbe. This was his way of being machshayu, machanichyu, to be a Rebbe, to lead Yidden when you get older. Again, as I mentioned, he used to always refer to the Radishitzer as his Rebbe Mufak, although he only knew him when he was, but you see what he did, he put a neshama inside of him. And he used to say that on Rosh Hashanah, when I blow tkiyas, I go looking for it from the tzaddikim. I go in the Oilamas and I'm looking for Tzaddik, who I'm going to take with me to blow the shofar. And I always take by my side the Saba Kadisha from Adashitz. I always take him with me when I blow the shofar. It's all the Rebbe's and great, great people. See, he once told over how he became a chassid of the Kotzker. It's always a story behind that. At his chasna, his father was a connected person and it wasn't a Rebbe or anything, but he knew a lot of tzaddikim, and a lot of admirim were there, and Rebbes were there. He said that the Rebbe Avramala, there was a certain poor person who came to the chasna who just caught my eye, and I couldn't take my eyes off him at the chasna. That's what he was distracted with, his chasna, this poor person. So he befriended him at the chasna, at his own chasna, and they kept in touch, and they would learn b'chavrusa with each other. And say, one day, he says, I want you to come with me to the city of Skotsk. He didn't tell him anything about a Rebbe, nothing like that. Found out that he got to Kotsk and they came there and they were waiting to go see the Rebbe. So after, you know, inquiring, you know, who he was, so he said that he was a neched, he was a grandson of the Yid HaKadosh, Yom Yichus. You know, in Kotsk that was like a big no-no to have Yichus, right? So when the Gabbai found that out, so the Gabbai, he made an announcement and he said, He says, let the grandson of the Yid HaKadosh go in. Let him go in to the Rebbe. This is like a, you know, they like to watch these things. So the Rebbe also, when he heard that the Inukal from the Yid HaKadosh was, he also, the Kotzker, he let out a call and he says, no, tell the Achsen to come. Tell him to come. So he comes in and he, yeah, the Rebbe asks him, so who are you? Where are you from? The city of Rishash, that's where you're from. He says, okay, and what do you do there? So he said, I learned Gemara Taisus. He said, And what do you do there? So I said, I learned Gemara Taisus. So he said, and what do you do there? So the Rebbe asked him 8 times, what do you do there? And each time he said, I learned Gemara Taisus. So he said, after that, I learned, I schmoozed with the Kotzker a little bit more. When I left the room, I was a Kotzker chassid. And every time the Rebbe asked me, what do you do? And I said, I learn Gemara Taisvitz. I had a deeper Havana. Every time he asked me that question, I had a deeper Havana than the time before, whenever I felt like the Havana coming into me when he asked me that question. So what do you do there? I learn Gemara Taisvitz. Each time it went into me. New Amkus, new Nyanam in learning. That's how he was calling him as a chassid. He was only Rebbe for 7 years, and that was after the passing of the Sfas Emes. But he always tried to be. He ran and ran and ran from the covet, especially for being a Rebbe. He used to say that to be a Rebbe, you need 4 things. He says you have to have Avas Yisrael, Ruach HaKodesh, Min HaShemayim. You have to see, it has to be clear that they've appointed you to be a Rebbe, and also a little bit of Maksim. A little bit of Maksim you need. So you need to be a Rebbe. So after the Petit of the Sfas Emes, finally they got him, but he pushed very hard not to become Rabbi. So he explained, he said, I think we shared this ma'isa when we spoke about the Rebbe Rabunim a few years ago. He said that when the Rebbe Rabunim once said to the Katzker, he says, you know what, I don't want to be Rebbe anymore. He says, everybody, all you guys, you're bothering me, my boy. I don't want to be Rebbe anymore. I can make a fine parnasa. He says, I can make what he calls like 50, we'll call it dollars, 50 tellers. It says here, 50 tellers a week. I'll give my wife 30 and I'll take 20 and we'll be fine like that. I don't want to be Rebbe anymore. So the Kutzker was, didn't see anything to that, didn't know what the Rebbe was going. So the Rebbe went and walked away. So 15 minutes, he came back to the Kutzker and he says, I'm not going to do that. Why am I not going to do that? Because my Rebbe didn't do that and none of the other Rebbes did that. Can't do anything that they wouldn't do. Not going to do it. So, but he took from this ma'aseh of Rebbe Ramla. He says, you see that when you become a Rebbe, so even when you want to throw it away, you can't throw it away. But before you become a Rebbe, you still have your choice. I'm not interested in becoming a Rebbe. He once said that, you know, in Chabad Chassidus, they say that the 7 Rebbes of Chabad are like the Zayin Ushpizin. So Rebbe Rebel used to say that the 7 tzaddikim from the Yiddish Kaddish to the Imre Emes, they're also the Zayin Raim. He says that the Yiddish Kaddish was Avram Avinu. Vechinas Avram Rebunim was Pachad Yitzchak. The Kotzker was Titin Emes Liyakov. The Chedisha Ram was Vechinas Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sarah Torah. Rebbe Penachel from Alexander was the Kahana Kedisha. He was Aaron HaKohen. He was a Kohen. His Sfas Emes, he was the Zara de Yosef, the son of the Chedush Erim, grandson. And Rabbeinu, the Imre Emes, he's Bechinas Davi Melech Yisrael. He had tremendous esteem for the Imre Emes, even though his eyes saw the Radish Shitzer. He had tremendous, tremendous covet for the Imre Emes. He was embattled to him, Lagame, when he showed up once to town. So he made himself like he wasn't a Rebbe, but came out like he wasn't a Rebbe. He explained because, you know, when a big seicher comes to town, so all the small people, they close up their shops. Nobody wants to be open when the big seicher. Who's going to come to the small shops when there's Amazon? Nobody wants to go to the small shops. That's what he felt like in the presence of the MMS. Big chiddush comes to show about the MMS. We haven't spoken about him yet. It's Hashem. He didn't share Torah at the Tish. Mamash never shared Torah. So he once explained, it's really based on a chazal, with David HaMelech and the kings after him. So he said this, he said, the Chidush Erim, when he was Rebbe, he wore Big Day Lavan, and he had Yudbeis Chalas, 12 Chalas, and he said Torah. When the Rebbe from Alexander came, Rebbe Penachel, so he wore the white clothes, and he said Divrei Torah, but he didn't have Yudbeis Chalas. He gave up on the Yudbeis Chalas. He didn't do it. When the Sfas Emes became Rebbe, so he said Torah, but he didn't wear the begadim, and he also didn't have chalas. He only said Torah. And now that I have to the Sfas Emes, so I have nothing left. And not even Torah, I could say. There's nothing left for me to do. Another occasion, when they asked him why he doesn't say Torah, so he had his Rebbe's ways of explaining why he doesn't do it. Of course, the Rebbe's never tell the real reasons for anything. So he quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Rebbe Akiva was told, a couple places in Shas, you know, when he would say like what seemed to be wild pshatim to the other Tanaim, he says, Akiva, malacha itzal agada. Akiva, what are you doing, you know, saying pshat agada? So he says, Kalach eats on the Goyim Ba'alos. Go spend your time learning the Goyim and Ba'alos. So this is how he types that Gemara. He says, Malach eats on Haggadah. He says, a person needs to be Oisek in the Goyim Ba'alos, which means Tahara. Unless a person is a Tahara Bakulai, he has no business saying Tahara. That's what they said to Makiva. Now, what are you saying Tahara is for? Go to the Goyim Ba'alos and put your mamash a Tahara. If nobody wants to hear Tahara, this person is not Tahara. That's what he said. It's such a, I understand what it means. It's such high bar for, you know, what it means to say Torah, to learn Torah, Kedusha v'Tahara, that's necessary. One of his inyanim was that he, like many of the rabbis, that they didn't, he didn't daven Tefillah Bizmana. So he was once asked, why not? So he said, it's because, you know, for a person who really davens, so a person doesn't daven for himself. He davens for the Shechina, he davens for other people. So he said, if you come in front of the king and you want to talk about somebody else, the king says to you, if you show up late, he says, what do you mean? You're making a meeting for me and you show up late? You want to talk about something? So show up on time. He says, when I come in, I daven. I come in like an Oni Meduka. I don't come in, I don't need appointments. When I come in, I talk about myself. I don't need to make appointments. I come in as is and the king sees me and he knows he's a beggar and he doesn't need to make, no need to make appointments with the king when you're a beggar. However, when the Imre Emes came and he made Takonis, he abolished the whole thing about davening Bisman. You know, the Imre Emes himself was like clockwork on the dime. The second it struck, if you were 10 seconds late, when we speak about the Imre Emes, some beautiful stories like that. Every second by him was accounted for. So he got rid of the whole inyan of davening Shalom Bizmana. And the Rebbe Reb Rommel, he followed that. Even though he spent his whole life, and he was a Zakin at the time, he davening Bizmana. When the Imre Emes said, we're davening from now on Bizmana, he followed. And why was that? So he explained, he says, B'derech Mashal, he says the Tati comes home from work one day, and the Rebbetzin is not, you know, the wife is, she doesn't have dinner ready, and so she says it'll take me an hour. He says, okay, I'm a little hungry here, but okay, I'll wait an hour. So she brings out the dinner, and as he starts to eat it, he says, this is delicious. So, okay, it took an hour, but you know, it's so delicious, it was worth the wait. He says the next time he comes home late, so she says, yeah, I need an hour, and she makes him like, you know, some scrambled eggs or something. He says, this is what you needed an hour for? This is what you needed an hour for? So the earlier Dairis, they knew how to daven. So when they came late, so they prepared something really yummy for their Rebbeinu Shalom. So he says, oh, okay, I see why you needed an hour. Today, who knows how to daven like that anymore? So when you come with your scrambled eggs, the king's like, this is what you daven? You couldn't daven his mana because you're making scrambled eggs? So when finally he became Rabbi, so we spoke about last week the Ostrovtzer. So he came to give Rav Rommel really didn't want to be Rabbi, but the Ostrovtzer really wanted to press upon him that he deserves to be Rabbi, he should be Rabbi. So he showed up, and he handed him a kvittel with his name on it, and he gave him a pigeon along with it. So Rav Rommel was very sharp, Kotzker. So it said on the kvittel, it said, you know, his name, the Rebbe's name. Meyachil, whatever his mother's name was. So Rumble looks at him and he says, and what's your grandmother's name? So, you know, the Ostrovtzer, he was a big Mefalpil and a big Amkin, and he started to try to think to himself, you know, what is Rumble want to know my grandmother's name for? So he couldn't figure it out. So he says, so why do you want to know my grandmother's name? So he says, the same way you want me to know your mother's name, that's why I want to know your grandmother's name. Just to be like, well, I'm not a rabbi, it's just telling me your mother's name, your name and your mother's name. What am I going to do with that? It's just like you tell me your mother's name. I might as well tell me your grandmother's name. And, you know, in Kotzk, everything is very sharp. My different mice in here, about things that I'm not even sharing some of the mice. It's not very, very sharp. So, there was one bacher, or maybe he's a young man, Avich Tzar, it says here. He was pacing back and forth in the base medrash. So Rav Rommel came over to him and he said, when I came in and I saw you on one side of the base medrash, and you walked to the other side, I thought to myself that you probably thought that on the other side of the base medrash would be better for you. But now that you made your way back to the other side of the Beis Medrash, I figured that maybe now you thought this would be better for you. But then you went back to the other side. So which side is better for you? Like, you know, which is the good side? Pacing back and forth. I mean, he meant two things. First of all, he meant, you know, you look like you're thinking and learning when you're pacing back and forth to the Beis Medrash. Just have a seat and think and learning. You don't have to make yourself look like you're really deep in thought. That was the first thing that he wanted to tell him. And the second thing was that don't just walk for no reason. Like, if you're doing something, think about what you're doing. You don't just, you know, have to calculate, you know, your body moves, it's doing things. You have to think about it before you just start walking, doing things which you take for granted. Somebody once came to him, and there was a shidduch that was made, and they found out that the chassan had like a kvad lashon here, like I had some type of a stutter. So they asked Rabbi Rommel whether they should keep the shidduch or call it off. So he said, there's a chazal. He says, I once saw a sefer kadmon. He says, why is it that a mensch is created with two hands, two legs, two ears, two nostrils, two eyes, but only one mouth? To teach us that he should speak half as much as he sees and he hears and everything else that he does. The fact that he's a kvad lashon is a milah. They don't have to call it the shidduch because it's a kvad lashon. The fact that he'll be talking less, it's not shvei. When he came to the Sasemis once for a Shabbos, where he was a Rebbe, so he sat down on the Friday night. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and him and one of his chaverim were sitting there and they were learning. And there was an ani who came into the Beis Medrash, and he laid down on the bench. And it was getting late, and so his chaver said he was going to go to sleep, and he's going to come back early in the morning to continue learning. So when he came back, he saw that Rav Roma was in the same place. He was still learning. He said, Rav Roma, I didn't know you were such a maspin. You learned the whole night. He says, what am I supposed to do? He said, this ani, when he fell asleep on the bench, he fell asleep on my coat. And I want to pull my coat down so I shouldn't wake him up. So he forced me to be a masmin tonight. You see the degree of Avas Yisrael which he had. He felt bad that the ani, he needed a place to sleep. He fell asleep in his coat. He would just think, I yank it out. And didn't want to stare the ani sleep. So he stayed up all night so that he shouldn't make him uncomfortable. He once said, the whole world is one kina after the next. He said, this person gets this item, and then Yanim sees it, and he has to beat him. And then Levi sees that Shimon beat him, and he gets him. So he says, I wish I would be able to see Bedor Acheron, you know, what that last thing is going to be. Who's going to be on top? Like, who's the one who beat everybody? I would like to see what that thing is going to be. That's how he looked at the world, you know, one person just... No, that's a good kid, nobody so. Well, keeping up with the Joneses, you know. I mean, gosh, me or something. Yeah. This is a very sharp also, he said. He says, if you want to see how much sheker there is in the belt, he says, just take a look at how people they cheat each other. He says, a person walks into another yid's house late one night, and it's cold night, and he has no place to go. He comes in, and he's trembling, and he's very cold, and he's thirsty, and the balabas makes him a cup of tea. So he says, oh, can I give you a cup of tea? Sure, what can I do for you? And he says, he's helping him, this and that. He says, the whole time that he's helping him, he's thinking to himself, I wish you wouldn't have bothered me. He says, come sit down, I'll give you a cup of tea. I wish you wouldn't have bothered me. He says, the whole time he's making it look like he's very happy to have him here, you know. But in his mind, he says, you know, I wish I wouldn't have to do this. Every gesture he does, he's thinking, I wish I wouldn't have to do this for you. I wish I wouldn't have to do that for you. You know, and Kosk, everything is MS, you know. So he's like, They called that the sheker in the veld. You know, the fact that you're doing it, but do you really want to be doing that? I didn't want to be doing that. You have to do it. He said, the fact that you're echav epev, echav alev, he said, that's the sheker in the veld. And they had very high standards of, you know, what the katzka demanded. So the Ramsa Chassid who came to him and he was complaining about his yisurim, his lot in life. So he said, let me tell you a story. He says there was a chassid who passed away and he had to give Divin Chejvin. So they started to look through his mitzvahs and they saw that he didn't have that many mitzvahs. He had a lot, but not enough as he had of Eris. So they said to him, well, okay, if you don't have that many mitzvahs, well, you know, you can have Yisurim, we'll count your Yisurim also as mitzvahs too, to take away some of their. So quickly he started looking for as many Yisurim as he had in his lifetime. So when he heard that, he's Makapalus Yisurim Be'ava. He says, okay, I get it. He used to say, along these lines, the Lashon of the Mishnah, Al Kulam, on all of them, im amar shahako nya bidvaro yatsa. Other tzaddikim said this as well. Al kulam, whatever a person goes through in life, if he says about that, shahako nya bidvaro, everything is because Hashem Yisparach said so, yatsa, he's yatsa from the tzars. That's the skula beduka. When a person is mamin in the hashgacha pratis, the hashgacha itself is masalik b'yisurin. Before he passed away, so his son came to him, his name is Rabbi Gabriel. He was killed in the Holocaust. Hashem Yikom Damav. So, when he came to say goodbye from his father, before he had to go back to where he lived, he told his father that his parnas is very shver. So his father said, "Oh, I have an eitzah for you." So he went and he took out his matzah tash. I guess they call it. It's like a thing that you put the matzahs in on Pesach, and he handed it to me. He says, "Here you go." He was very disappointed in that. Didn't know really what this meant. Thought his father was going to, you know, give him a nice sum of money. He went home with this matzah thing. So a week later, he got a phone call. A group of people came to him and they said they wanted him to become a rabbi, and you know that would solve his parnasa problems and pay him as a rabbi. So he realized that when his father said, you know, I have an eitzah for you, and he handed him the matzah thing, he was making him a rabbi. That's what that was. You never know many times what to think of what the kavanah said, but he was giving him over. Arabanus is taking care of him. One of the last things that he did before he was nostalgic.